Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play podcast. Officially, I'm giving my name Jason Smith after the last pod's debacle.
That's disappointing.
This week, we're talking about week three of the NFL. Hey, Miles.
Yes, that will be my name, and I'll keep that as well. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of disappointing to hear. I would like to find out what sort of names you had in mind to change to.
There was only going bubbly or nothing. That was it. So, I had a little bit more thought about it. It could have been misconstrued 1,000 different ways, a la Todd Carney. So bubbly, bubbler, same sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's right, I guess.
So week three of the NFL scores running through it.
Could have changed it to Funaki.
Yeah, if I do that, you're doing that. I love Funaki. The Thursday night game, the Jacksonville Jaguars getting over the Tennessee Titans 20-7 on their Pornhub quarterback, but we'll talk about him later. The Detroit Lions are just beating the Philadelphia Eagles 27-24. Patriots 3-0 beating the Jets 30-14. The Minnesota Vikings getting over the Raiders 34-14. The Kansas City Chiefs, another 3-0 team, beating the Baltimore Ravens 33-28. This is a bit more closer. The Colts just getting over the Falcons 27-24. The Packers, another 3-0 team, getting over the Denver Broncos 27-16. My boys, the Cowboys, another 3-0 team, 31-6 against the hapless Dolphins.
They should have beaten them 70-6.
The surprise 3-0 one, or just the surprise team so far, the Buffalo Bills are just beating the Bengals 21-17. The New York Giants, amazing comeback win against the Buccaneers 32-31. The Carolina Panthers getting over the Arizona Cardinals 38-20. The 49ers,
that happened.
Impressive team. Yeah. Well, that's something we need to talk about. But the 49ers, another impressive team. 3-0, getting over another hapless team, the Steelers, 24-20. Your boys, the New Orleans Saints, getting over the Seahawks, 33-27, which was a very entertaining game.
That was impressive.
The Texans getting over the Chargers, 27-20. The LA Rams getting over the Browns. The overhyped Browns, 20-13. And Monday night game to finish off was the Bears getting over the Redskins, 31-15.
Oof.
So.
That was
I was going to start with, the Thursday night game, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you watch any of that game? It was a bit of a. It wasn't the greatest game to watch, but I think it was just entertaining purely from the Jacksonville's quarterback, Gardner Minshew.
The Minshew factor.
Yeah, he's well, everybody's talking about him. And even
that's right. Yeah, it's Minshew mania. It's insane what's happened with just sort of the hype and everything that's come around. He's got a bit of swag though, gets off the plane. It looks like he's trying to dress up like Austin Powers. He's got a little bit of it. But for me, I thought, the story really, obviously, besides Minshew, like the Jags got up quick, like real quick, like 14 zip in the first quarter. Yeah. And that just about shunted Tennessee pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
They're off like Jacksonville's defense is pretty good, and their front seven just rushed the quarterback bulk. Mariota got sacked 9 times.
Yeah.
He was just constantly on the ground. And the young rookie Josh Allen out of Kentucky, he got 2 sacks. The big defensive unit, Calais Campbell, who's just a monster. He ended up getting 3 sacks, 4 tackles for loss. So they were just constantly putting Mariota on the ground, and it's too hard to to, especially when the, you know, Jacksonville secondary is playing well, and we all know what the situation is with Jalen. Well, if we don't know about the situation with Jalen Ramsey is, but he's still a top corner in the league. So, you know, he's always covering. He's going to be covering your best offensive weapon in the backfield. So,
yeah. Still looking for a trade too.
Still, yeah. Throw that in.
Yeah. But he's playing like he doesn't want to leave the team. But yeah, no. Yeah. No, he's still looking for a trade. But he.
Oh yeah, no, he wants out.
Yeah, there's some flu related illness, but he wants out.
He wants out. But the owner, I can't think of his first name, but his last name's Khan, isn't he? He's the guy that
Amir Khan.
He's the guy who's got AEW.
AEW, correct, yeah. Him and Tony. And Tony.
Yeah,
Khan.
Well, he doesn't want to trade him.
No.
It's an interesting standoff.
It's an interesting standoff, yeah. But like I was saying, he's still playing. Yeah, I mean, he's still probably just keeping his value there because he played well in that game. What would you want to trade away a star cornerback? I mean,
no way. Unless you're getting pretty good value back, like you want like for like. If you're getting rid of one, you want to try and bring one back in.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, just quickly on that too, is Leonard Fournette. He got hammered. Leonard Fournette got absolutely hammered.
Yeah,
I think he had a total of 65 yards, and one run of 69 yards.
Yeah, so yeah, all of his, yeah.
Everything else was negative rushing yards. He just got smoked. Like that's one thing you can sort of, you know, take a positive out of for Tennessee. Their run defense was really good.
But interesting enough, as much as the other thing that stood out to me in that game, as much as Mariota did get sacked, he still pulled out 300 yards, which I think sort of just didn't get touched on in the game because everyone was all on about Minshew. But he still pulled out an impressive 300 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine what he's doing if he's not getting sacked 9 times.
Yeah, yeah, he's possibly pulling out 400, and they might actually they may have had a chance to win that, but yeah, impressive nonetheless. There's a few more games. Just quickly on the, we don't have to really go into the game, but with the Patriots beating the Jets, Brady passed Breeze for the second most pass touchdowns in NFL history.
Boo.
Well, who's younger? Who's younger?
I think Breeze turns 40. I think I can't remember if he's already 40 or he turns 40 in like January.
Okay. So Breeze got there pretty quick then, considering. Well, that's real. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, Brady's just, I guess, being Brady.
By the end of last year, they were fairly close. And obviously, Breeze was ahead by the end of the season last year. But, yep. Tom will take over that mantle for a little while Breeze is on the sideline.
Yeah, probably now, unfortunately.
Speaking of Tom Brady, I'm just going to a little side note also just about that game and what Tom Brady tweeted about that game with all the offensive penalties and everything. He sort of come out and tweeted that he's turning the football off. I can't watch this, you know, paraphrasing, but yeah, he sort of can't watch this penalty riddled game. He's turning it off. And then funnily enough, over the weekend before the Sunday's slot of games, it sort of come out that the referees were going to have like not so much an emergency meeting, but, you know, had a meeting with the league and everything. And the league's like, hey, Tom's not liking this. We should stop offensive holding penalties. We should stop them. We need to make Tom happy. So let's make Tom happy. Funnily enough, throughout the rest of the weekend, the offensive holding penalties were nearly at 6 per game over the first 3 weeks or the first 2 weeks. And funnily enough, they dropped to under 3 per game. So, you know, if you don't think Tom Brady's got any clout with the league, I would seriously reconsider that.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't realize that, but yeah. Well, I mean, they're all saying. I still think he's one of the greatest of all time. But yeah, clearly he still has clout, even though he's nowhere near as rich as all those combined owners, or even one of those owners that land combined.
Even though he's accused of inflating footballs.
Oh, wow.
Accused? I didn't say he did. He was just accused. And served a four-game suspension. Anyway.
The other, I guess, slight game I was going to bring up was the Bills. You know, yeah, I mean, they're not playing the greatest teams in the world, but they're doing very, very well for that 3-0 start.
All you can do is beat the teams that are in front of you.
They're just impressing me. Like they're not doing anything. They're not the greatest scores in the world. They're not doing anything flashy. I just think it's on the back of Josh Allen.
They've
just been impressive. He's
a bit more accurate than what he was last year, and he's still you know, it's still hard to plan for a quarterback that's his size. And has got a decent running game. So, it's sort of hard to plan for that. But like you said, they don't have the greatest weapons to throw to. And the young kid Devin Singletary, he's playing well, even though he was hurt last week. Evergreen Frank Gore
came in. You know, 36 years old, playing out of his skin at the moment.
At the running back, his body must just be industry, must be a Terminator or something, like to be 36 and to be able to still take that kind of beating as a running back is just, that's phenomenal.
Well, I thought they'd struggle getting rid of LeSean McCoy. Frank Gore's 30s. They did get that Isaiah McKenzie or someone. I thought when they picked up a running back in the draft and then they got rid of LeSean McCoy, I thought, all they're going to have is Frank Gore and probably Josh Allen because he can run just as much as anybody else. But
I think Singletary's been a bit of a surprise for him, and they're just going to keep running with it. So, you know, that's they're going to be their MO is just going to be heavy running and Josh Allen to sort of scamper out of the pocket whenever he can, and he's a big target, so he's hard to pull down.
Correct. I mean, unfortunately, next week they're coming up against the New England Patriots, but.
That's a huge test for them. Just that, you know, both teams defensively are doing really well. Like New England hasn't given up. Okay, they haven't played. Once again, they haven't played the greatest of opponents, but they haven't given up an offensive touchdown all year.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Really.
Yeah. The Jets. The Jets were two defensive touchdowns. So they haven't given up an offensive touchdown all year.
And Buffalo's home, so it might be, I guess, more competitive than, the Patriots will win, but it might be more competitive than everyone. Well, coming into week four and the Buffalo Bills at 3-0, it'd be a lot more competitive than a lot of people would actually think.
Yeah, that's right.
Any big games stand out for you?
Just a quick one before I get into the Saints game.
It was a good game. I did watch it.
It was a good win.
Yeah, I know.
It was a good win. I just thought the Lions win in Philadelphia was impressive, but not impressive. Like at the end there, you could see that, you know, Detroit tried their all to give the game away, and then they had right at the end in there, because I caught the last quarter on the telly after I finished work. And Philly just, oh my God, they must have dipped their hands in Vaseline or something like that before they went out there. They couldn't hang on to a pass. Everybody's dropping the ball. And then right at the end there, Detroit sort of had the chance to sort of put themselves just that little bit more in front, and they had the field goal blocked. As Philly sort of took advantage of that, come down the field, and then they couldn't take advantage of the blocked field goal and getting the ball back I think it was with 40 seconds to go, I think. So yeah, they just couldn't quite take the chance. And I thought something that was kind of cool and you don't really see all that often anymore since sort of, you know, kickoffs and everything, or, you know, kickoffs anyway, are sort of a bit redundant at the moment. But the Lions kick returner Agnew had a 100-yard touchdown return off a kickoff.
That was
pretty wild.
And you don't usually, like you said, you don't usually get to see them, but they're always well, massively exciting to see.
Oh, those are crazy.
Not so much, I guess, for the player running through, which is awesome, but just for the I just love seeing all the offensive players getting the defensive players out of the way just to have that line to run. It looks good.
Yeah, it's mad. It should do more. That's, I mean, with the where they kick it from. Now they kick it from like the 30. I don't know if they kick it from the 35, from the 35 yard line. It's just it's stupid. Like it's, I know they're trying to avoid collisions and all that sort of stuff. But oh man, it's such a different sort of facet of the game that you can use to your advantage. And not a lot of teams do it. They just
And the other thing, I guess, with the Lions, I notice is that whenever their receiving guys, whenever someone, I guess, doesn't have the greatest game, like Kenny Golladay didn't have a great game then, but there's always seems to be someone stepping up, and that young Marvin Jones got 101 yards that game. So yeah, they have enough.
They've got a good receiving core there. So, and Matt Stafford's not exactly the worst quarterback getting around. Nah. So, you know, he's got a big arm on him and he's fairly accurate. So, I think he's rated
pretty high between everybody too, I believe.
Yeah. There's a lot of sort of ESPN analysts and that like Matt Stafford, but it's just, I don't know whether it's just the organization. They're not putting the right pieces around him or anything it'd be interesting to see if he sort of had a decent, you know, running game there and if they don't have injuries to their wide receivers and stuff like that, because I think Marvin Jones was hurt at the end of last year, so that sort of that hurt him a little bit. I think Golladay was hurt for a lot of last year as well. So if they can stay healthy, then you know Detroit could do something.
So with that Saints game, New Orleans, I think it's their first win without Drew Brees since 2005, I believe.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So, yeah, it sounds ridiculous, but it's interesting. That's either a testament to that Drew Brees, you know, I guess how good Drew Brees is, or that he never gets injured. Or when he does get injured, then all the quarterbacks they have a shit. So I don't know.
They're poop. Well, they rested him for week 17 last year, and they put in Bridgewater, and they got beat by Kyle Allen and the Carolina Panthers. So can talk a little bit about Kyle Allen a bit later, but the Saints defense won that game for him. Not so much that, like Thomas Morstead, who's their punter, pinned Seattle inside their 10 and inside their 5 yard line a lot when the Saints offense couldn't get going. The young kid, Harris, I think he's a rookie this year. I think it's Deontay Harris. He had a 53-yard punt return touchdown. So that was impressive. Sean Payton's really high on him. Yeah, he thinks he can be sort of one of the special teams players in the league in regards to sort of punt and kick returns. And then they also had the fumble return touchdown by Von Bell. Chris Carson turned into a fumble machine during that game. It was raining. Okay, fair enough. But why wasn't everybody else dropping the ball? He couldn't hang on to the ball. He was dropping it left. He was losing his footing. He was slipping over everywhere. Like they benched him for a little bit. So, and Teddy Bridgewater looked fairly impressive. The thing that I sort of found a little bit interesting in that game is Not one of the quarterbacks got touched. No sacks by either team. And the Saints have got a pretty good sort of defensive line, and they were getting through the Seahawks a little bit, and they couldn't lay a finger on Russell Wilson. That pesky Russell Wilson. They couldn't lay a finger on him. It was insane.
The thing I sort of took out of that was, Alvin Kamara, great running back. So his rushing yards were there at 69, but I think Teddy likes him as a receiving player because he topped the receiving as well, 92 yards. So
nine receptions for 92. So
yeah.
I think, and the thing is too, like that, obviously, with him, Michael Thomas probably, would have been very heavily covered. So it's good for them to sort of have that sort of secondary option. And it's not as if they'll long passes down the field or anything like that. A lot of them were, short passes, and then Kamara would sort of get a bit of a run on. And so I think he had two touchdowns as well. So, I think, with Bridgewater being in there for the next sort of 5 weeks or so, I think his rapport, shall we say, with Michael Thomas should get a little bit better, and that will be severely tested next week against the Cowboys.
Severely tested against the Cowboys. but it is at New Orleans, which is a bit of a bogey ground, so to speak, I guess, for the Cowboys. I mean, not having Drew Brees there is probably going to help us, but...
That'll help, but both offensively and dip. But the thing is though, that's a little bit of my sort of overreaction for the week is just let's sort of pump the brakes a little bit on the Cowboys. Like they've beaten teams that they should have. Like they haven't played anybody good. They haven't played anybody good.
Okay. I mean, but there's a few other teams that are 3-0 that haven't played anybody good either.
New England's the same. They haven't played anybody good.
Yeah. I mean, if we're looking, true. And if you look at week four games, there's a lot of they're playing New Orleans. The Chiefs up against the Lions. So there's a lot of
games. I think Kansas City's 3-0 is probably a little bit more impressive than most teams that are 3-0. Even Green Bay, they've played. Fairly decent teams, even Green Bay. They played some pretty hefty defensive teams, and they've come out with the win. So, I think their sort of 3-0 is a little bit more impressive than what the Dallas Cowboys is and what the New England Patriots is.
Yeah, true. Interesting enough, next week there's a few games on both spectrums, on 3-0 games or very close to 3-0 games playing against each other, and the 0-3 team on. Monday Night Football, the Bengals and Steelers that are playing against each other.
Oh, my God, that is going to be a dumpster fest. Good grief. I seen that when I was looking up the games for next week, and that's next week's Monday night game. Oh, what is that going to be? That is going to be horrendous. And when you have those expectations that the game is going to be absolutely horrible, it probably turns out to be an all right game. Like this month, this previous Monday night game is an absolute beatdown.
And I think with that's the thing. I think with the the schedule, you don't know what's going to happen because
schedule. No, of course not. No, that's right.
It's not like certain other sports, with NRL, where they sometimes can change. Well, the schedule's there, but they change up the nights and the games depending on ratings and that.
The NRL's pretty simple on how they do their primetime games. They go Friday night. It's 7:50 on Channel 9. We'll just have the Brisbane Broncos. Anyway, I've talked about that before, but they try and spread it around. At least they try and spread it around a little bit. I don't know how. Apparently,
I agree because to me, NFL, but I just think with if you're going to have a TV crowd to watch that game, they're going to most likely be disappointed. Whereas NRL, like you said, at least they go, well, this team might, they want more eyes on the actual TV. So instead of the ground.
Because they still get plenty of eyeballs on there. So I don't think ESPN or Fox or CBS or anyone like that's not really losing money. But to me, yeah, those feature games, the Sunday night game and the Monday night game are generally sort of feature games, and that's the one thing I always sort of find is that you generally the feature game either on Fox or on CBS. I think it's CBS on a. Oh, I can't remember who broadcast that main game on a Sunday night. It's generally the feature game.
NBC,
it's the Dallas Cowboys.
NBC, I think.
Oh yeah, sorry, it might be NBC. Yeah,
I think it's NBC. Yeah. The last game I was going to talk about was just the game between. It would be sorry, everyone. Between the Rams and the Browns. Not so much that the Rams deserve to win, but this probably really centered around the Cleveland Browns. Is that it's probably to me officially now the hype's gone basically.
Well, and that could work in their favor as well a little bit. You know, now that all the hype sort of died down, they can just sort of head down, bum up, and just get to work. Like that they ran Nick Chubb into the ground.
Oh, and Nick Chubb's been impressive.
Didn't he have 26 rushes?
Yeah, 23 with a total of 96 yards. And Nick Chubb's been impressive. And
he has been.
And I guess the receiver it's Baker Mayfield.
Well, it's not so much Baker. It's the offensive line leaking. Yeah. Defensive lineman getting through there, and Baker being under so much pressure all the time.
And he's
scampering around for his life, a la Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't have that sort of nous, like Russell Wilson does, to sort of avoid contact and to make those plays on the run.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty good receiving core in Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. So it's just finding the, or having the ability to be able to find those guys, because if you can extend the play a little bit longer, then you'd think that those guys have got more chance of being open. So it's just a matter of execution on his part to try and find those open receivers. He's got the weapons to throw to, so there's no real excuses.
No, he just needs, like you said, it probably is the O-line, but he just needs probably a little bit better consistency. I mean, is only his second year too, so it's probably...
No, that's right. That's right.
It's possibly a bit harsh, but...
All the hype that's around him this year and everything like that. And granted, they've played some okay teams, and they, they clobbered the Jets on I think it was Monday Night Football a couple of weeks ago. And the Jets, the Jets are just awful.
And they were there.
Read too much into that.
They were at the... Come up to the fourth quarter. They were in front up until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they were in the game. They were 100% in the game.
Like I said, maybe it's kind of a good thing that the hype's sort of over. So, yeah, head down, bum up, and
just get to work. And Freddie Kitchens with that supposed fairly horrible call near the end of the game where they're like fourth and nine, and he tried to do like a draw run play, which is sort of really weird. I don't know why you're trying. When you're on your last down and you're trying to do this draw run play, instead of all the ESPN metrics that come out. Nobody had done that since like 2007, since they'd been tracking those sort of stats. And I think they handed off to Chubb and he got 2 yards. Like that's it. When you've got a receiving core like he does, you've got to air the ball out. You have to. It was crazy. On the Rams, the Jared Goff Cooper Kupp connection just keeps on rolling.
That was I think that was more Cooper Kupp's game than probably Jared Goff's, which is not against sort of Jared Goff because he's steering the team around, but just Cooper Kupp sort of stood out. Cooper Kupp probably stood out because Jared Goff has, at least 8 targets he could throw to.
Oh yeah, no, they have got more than solid receivers across the park. So it's not as if they've got like a clear. Obviously, Cooper Kupp's probably a clear number one, but they've got very solid receivers you know, sort of low end number ones, high end number two receivers that he can throw it to. So, you know, he's, and then that's the thing. And then that's not an excuse for him either. You know, offer. And the thing is, to, you know, Aaron Donald, like, you know, what's Mayfield meant to do with Aaron Donald? Like, you know, Aaron Donald was the one that hit Drew Brees. So, you know, and the Saints have got a pretty good offensive line. So if Aaron Donald is getting through a decent offensive line in the Saints, what the hell's he going to do, you know, to a subpar offensive line? He's going to be rushing the quarterback.
And that's Aaron Donald. I mean, yeah.
He got his first sack of the year, which is, yeah, kind of weird. It's taken till week three to get his first sack.
It's not so much that, but just watching the guy come off that line, how quick he is and how he's just sort of, yeah, he's so light on his feet and how he gets around these players.
He's not
hugest
guy.
No, he's not
tall or anything like that. He's just a monster.
He's, yeah, you're right. He's not, you know, for these big guys he's going up against, and maybe that's helping because he is so, I guess, lower to the ground. He just seems to. Yeah, his agility is ridiculous. Like
it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, you said like New Orleans have a very good offensive line, but I don't think anybody can stop Aaron Donald.
He was still getting through though. That was the thing. He was still getting through. And I think last year as well too, like Aaron Donald didn't get his first sack until week four, and then ended up having 20. So. you know, him getting his first sack in week three this year. So, you know, look out.
Look out, the next 5 weeks of every other team.
He's just terrorizing quarterbacks.
Did you have any other news for the week?
No, I just wanted to go sort of through just the one more game that sort of there's been a lot of talk about, and that's, you know, the Daniel Jones era has begun with a bang. In New York with the Giants, with a massive comeback win. You know, they were down 18 points to beat Tampa in Tampa. So I think that's probably the most impressive part of it, is to actually do it, you know, on the road in that regard. So unfortunately, though, like, you know, a lot of things had to go the way of the Giants for them to get the win. Like their kicker, I think his name's Matt Gay. He missed two extra points and missed a field goal at the end of the game to win it. So, you know, kicking obviously had come into it. They lost Saquon Barkley early. I think he went down in the second quarter.
Yeah.
So he's dusted for at least a month.
6 to 8 weeks now, it says.
It's a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
If it in this country, it would be syndesmosis. They love that in the NRL, syndesmosis. Makes everybody sound like a doctor.
just say high ankle sprain.
Yeah, high ankle sprain. So yeah, he's cactus for the next, yeah, I would say 6 to 8 weeks. So that's certainly gonna hinder the Giants and what Daniel Jones can do. But from what seen highlights and you know what sort of supposed experts are saying, you know, over in the States. So, you know, it was pretty impressive. 23 for 36, like that's not overly impressive.
No,
it's the two touchdown throws and the two rushing touchdowns. He's able to sort of scramble, get out of the pocket a little bit, whereas cement shoes Eli Manning just can't do that. He is. He's got bricks on his feet.
For all the reports, he's, I mean, 336 yards. So he has a pretty good arm. So yes, Saquon might be out. This wasn't just targeting one person, but three of the receivers, including a tight end, nearly all topped two topped 100 yards and one.
Two,
nearly
topped 100 two got yards. Over the 100. So, yeah, that's right.
He must, you know, I guess it's interesting because when he got drafted, it was number six in that draft this year.
Everybody
lost their mind. Like, who the hell is this guy? Clearly the Giants were shrewd enough to pick him. So
that's the main thing. It's one game. It's one game. Let's just, you know, let's also
I understand.
Let's just pump the brakes on Daniel Jones for the moment. It's one game. So yeah,
and it was against the Buccaneers too. So I mean, yes, at Buccaneers.
No, the Bucs defense hasn't been overly bad. So you know that's kind of the thing there. Like, you know, their defensive coordinator is Todd Bowles, who's the former Jets coach, and he's supposedly a brilliant defensive mind. So he should have Tampa's defense playing fairly well, and for them to sort of do that, you know, to them, which would have been a little bit sort of hard to game plan for him as well. But you know, that's the defensive coordinator's job. So the Giants got Washington next week. So yeah, that could be anything, really. I'm not too sure sort of what to expect from that, probably, you know, besides some high scoring.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, and it might turn out that it might be
it could just be a dumpster fire, like, you know, it could be nothing, but you would expect if Jones could sort of do that to the Bucs defensively. Defense is horrendous, so he should be able to pretty much as long as that's what I mean. But Barkley not being there is certainly going to help. Certainly going to hurt. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
It would be very interesting, but
what the Daniel Jones train?
Yeah, it would actually be very interesting if they end up. It looks like Gruden's going to stick with Case Keenum, but it would be very interesting if he brings out rookie Dwayne Haskins against Daniel Jones next week. That'd be very, very fun.
There's a possibility, and that's it too. And you know, Washington's really sort of got nothing to lose. They're 0-3.
Yeah.
You can't really sort of throw him to the wolves. I think in a couple of weeks they've got the Redskins have got the Patriots, so you wouldn't dare sort of, you know, give him his first start. You give Keenum another couple of starts. You know, he's got his best chance for it against the Giants. So you'd probably leave Keenum out there. You'd leave Keenum to get pummeled by the Patriots, and then you'd probably bring, I think, their next best game that Washington could probably have to start. Haskins, I think, in a couple of weeks is against Miami. So, you know, that's probably the game that you would possibly focus on for Haskins to get his first start. So, you know, you don't want to sort of give him a baptism of fire and just throw him out there against the Patriots and go get him, son.
Oh no, I mean, like if he decided to throw him out against the Giants, it would be very interesting. And then possibly.
Yeah. But I think Gruden's trying to save his job, because all reports out there that everybody's hunting for Jay Gruden's head. So
this was
He's trying to get a win. So, and with, you know, sort of a bit of a subpar running game, you know, Adrian Peterson is, you know, very one-dimensional. He can't really, you know, he's not really a pass-catching option. So he's just going to put the head down and just beat his way through the line. If they can't block for him, then he's not going to be very effective. You know, Washington lost Darius Geis, who was going to be their number one running option. So he's gone. So I think there's another other. Is it Chris Thompson? I think he's another one there. He hasn't been very impressive. So they're not. Yeah, their running game's been fairly poor. And you know, the only real receiver that he can rely on is Vernon Davis, the tight end. So so that's unfortunately that's Case Keenum's problem. So yeah, it's. I mean, you'd probably wait a little while and sort of next week after week four or sort of talking the young quarterback, or you know, or even some of the rookies that are sort of impressed or haven't impressed next week. So once we've got four games under the belt, so wouldn't mind sort of talking about that either.
Yeah, well, that was leading in a couple of bit of news that I was going to bring up. Yeah, the Jay Gruden, if his job was everyone's saying his job's, I guess, up on the chopping board, but he seems to be sticking with Case Keenum.
He could be the first coach. Yeah, he could be the first coaching casualty this year.
Uh-huh.
He's had 6 years. He's had 6 years. 6 years at Washington.
Yeah.
Hasn't done much. I don't think any playoff appearances. So yeah, he's yeah, he's in a bit of he could be in a bit of strife.
The other bit of news was it brought up about Saquon Barkley. It looks like he's earlier brought up about him. Look like he's seeking a second opinion on his ankle, which probably because he doesn't want to miss any games. But yeah, so far it's four to 8 weeks.
Yeah,
he's still young.
Yeah, he's. No, it's just second opinion on an ankle. Like you got to know. What's the point of getting a second opinion now? Go get a second opinion in a month. Like, you know, he's going to know. He's going to know better than anybody what his ankle, what his ankle's going to be like. Just a second opinion for what?
For a high ankle sprain.
I know. There's a lot of doctors in the greater New York area, so I'm sure he'd be able to get second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh opinions on what's wrong with it. But you're better off just reevaluating after a month, and then go right. You know, how does everything look, and then go and get 50 points. Like it just seems a little odd. That why you'd want a second opinion on something like a high ankle sprain. You know, Drew Brees did that. He went and got a second opinion with two LA thumb doctors, but you'd think, or hand doctors. You know, that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to sort of like a lower leg injury. You know, something to do with your hands and fingers is a little bit different. But it doesn't look like you need surgery or anything like that. So those sorts of injuries don't tend to need surgery, so it's just a matter of feet up and get it ready to go.
Get rest, correct.
So get some rest. So, he's going to be when he comes back. He's going to be working extremely hard when he comes back. So, Wayne Gorman's got his work cut out for him to step into the big shoes of Saquon Barkley. So. It'll be interesting just to see how they go next week against Washington with that sort of, possibly pass-heavy offense rather than a run-heavy offense.
I think it's going to be pass-heavy. The Steelers giving away another draft pick, acquiring Nick Vennett from the Seahawks. That's three first-round draft picks from next year. Are they all in?
I don't know. I don't know sort of what's a make of this. I don't know what Pittsburgh are trying to do. Like they're 0-3. I guess they're still trying to. Hey, we can still try and win now. Mason Rudolph looked. He's a big unit. Like he's a big quarterback. I didn't realize sort of how big he actually was. Like he's almost in the mold of Roethlisberger. So. Obviously not as big as him, but he's a big, solid quarterback. He wasn't super impressive last week, but he hasn't he hasn't got sort of the real weapons to work with. Yeah, James Conner's been below average, and Juju's been that life's hard after Antonio Brown taking all the focus away and you being a clear number two. Now he is 100% the number one receiver there. He had that one run. I think he had a 75 yard run touchdown. So that was impressive. But I think he ended up having six catches. So they've got a lot to work on. Pittsburgh and just throwing away draft picks left, right, and center. Obviously, the reason for this trade is Vance McDonald has gone down, and if you're making this kind of trade, just to sort of bolster up your tight end ranks, is Vance McDonald going to be gone for a little while? Like this is only sort of fresh news, so I haven't really sort of dug too deeply into it. To find out how long McDonald's actually going to be out for.
Yeah, correct. It just but I'm just sort of just circling back to what you said. Is it just a pride, or are they just? I don't know. Like, and I'm not saying Big Ben was. Once he's gone, then it may as well pack up and just waiting for next year's draft picks. But is it just foolish pride? I don't know. Like it just seems
like the fair front office. It seems a little odd while this year while they're making these kinds of moves, especially with the move to acquire Minka Fitzpatrick by giving away a first rounder where it looks like this year they could be very much in the sort of bottom quarter.
Yeah.
With wins this season, so that means their draft pick next year is going to be a high draft pick. Miami will just be sitting back pumping the fist, going, cool, more Steelers losses is terrific for us. So
yeah, true.
they could be picking twice inside the top 10 next year. So the plan at the moment in Miami to just be an absolute friggin' roaring tire fire this year is sort of coming to fruition a little bit. Means that the fans of Miami have got to endure this season and just sort of be happy with tailgating and stripper poles and be very, very sad when you walk into the stadium.
And they've also, I think they'll have, and maybe top 15, maybe, but Houston Texans first round picks in that for next year as well. So
yeah, I think Houston. Yeah, that depends on the health of Deshaun Watson. As long as they can keep him sort of clean and healthy, then they should. I think that'll probably be outside the top 20.
Three first round draft picks.
If they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's and it also depends on draft class that's coming out of college next year as well. Like, you know, if the draft class that's coming out of college isn't that terrific in the needs that Miami are after, then, you know, this sort of plan goes out the window.
Yeah. Well, all I'm really noticing is a couple of decent quarterbacks and then sort of some O-line guys, but yeah, and then sort of a bit daylight. Nothing compared to that. I think it's a little report. I think it's like 2021 or 2022 when there's supposed to be a very big or draft heavy, well, like just a better class is probably trying to say. So
I don't think the quarterback class isn't going to be that terrific, but I think, yeah, Miami's, from what I can sort of gather, that they've got their eyes set on Tua Tagovailoa, so I think that's who that they're going to be targeting, which kind of sucks for Josh Rosen because, you know, he's going to be there and he's going to take all the friggin' hits this year, and there's the possibility that he's either going to be the backup or be moved on. So that sort of sucks for him because he didn't look that bad.
No,
against the Cowboys. So
he topped 200 yards. Sorry, in passing. So he didn't really do that bad.
Unlike what Kyler Murray did, completed 30 passes. And was only like 176 yards. Oof, what a turd of a game that would have been. Good God.
Yeah. And did you have any, stud and duds of the NFL this week?
No, not really. I think Philly needs to get rid of the tubs of Vaseline around the place so that, you know, they can actually catch a pass. Like with Deshaun Jackson not being there and Alshon Jeffrey not being there, okay. But Nelson Agholor is more than capable, a more than capable wide receiver. And you've still got Zach Ertz there. So, you know, some of the drops that they've been having is not really helping Carson Wentz out because he hasn't had, the greatest start to a season. And so he'd be looking at those guys in the way they're playing.
Help. But. You're right. I mean, he's doing okay.
But they're 1-2. And 2, and you know that you don't want to have. They're a real shot at winning the NFC East, but it's they're already two wins behind the Cowboys already.
Yeah.
So they have to pick their game up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and there was Zach Ertz was a thing that I noticed. I mean, he's not going to do what he did last year. There's probably no way, but Zach Ertz.
Who's to know? Yeah, will he? Won't he?
What? I mean, I think last season, one of them, I think, well, his touchdown and yards was ridiculous, but.
Yeah, well, he was their leading receiver. He was their leading receiver last year. I think he had 100 plus catches
Yeah.
Last year. So, you know, he was 100% there, Philly's top target. So whether or not that can happen again, and it, you know, at the start of the season, the way it's going, it probably will happen again.
But he's not playing like he did sort of, well, I mean, we're only 3 weeks in, but he's not playing as good as he was last year. But yeah, we're only 3 weeks in, so.
Yeah. Do we want to have a little bit of a rant from of last week or as of a couple of days ago about Antonio Brown being released? Now he's going back to his alma mater, Central Michigan, to go back to school. And the only thing I can think of is when he does that is Billy Madison, where he's back to school. So I find that a little bit funny. But yeah, it's
without going into too much, like he's just
Could you honestly see that it was if he can't make it work at the Patriots, and if the Patriots don't want you, like Adam Schefter said last week when this came out, it's the kiss of death.
Yeah. Yeah, he
will not play this year. Yesterday. This year, the XFL, they supposedly don't want him.
Yeah.
By the time the XFL comes around next year, in March or whatever it will be next year, you know, these charges and everything, this civil case could all be gone. And if everything's sort of honky dory with him, why wouldn't an XFL team? You know, that's star power.
Yeah, correct. His timeline over the last 3 months is ridiculous. I just think does anybody want to put up with him anymore?
The further this gets put behind him, the more people are going to forget about it.
Yeah, correct.
And I think there's a huge chance that he could play with somebody next season. But why not? Why not try and keep your reps up and everything, and then try and score some money out of it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to deal with it. I think he's done. I mean. Unfortunately, because he's a world class wide receiver, clearly a world class wide receiver, but I think he's done. So
he's burned a lot of bridges, and the thing is too, like a lot of the time he's still trying to act the victim of all this. Like he's going to go after Oakland for his money It's clear that I think part of the contract was, you know, he had to be on the squad for week one, and he wasn't. Yeah. So guarantees were voided and bye-bye money. I think he's got a really good chance of actually scoring some cash out of the Patriots because they played him. They had him there. They had him practicing.
Yeah.
He played the game against the Dolphins, and he was practicing the week after. Okay, he was only with the team for 10 days or 11 days or whatever it was, but, you know, Yeah, New England. Yeah, they're gonna have to give him something.
There is actually one little story that's just come out about him again. The story of the day is furniture tossed in pools. So he gave a deposition about an incident last year where apparently there's a video servicing him just trashing this hotel and throwing outdoor furniture in the pool. But he is claiming he's countersuing and claiming there wasn't enough security for him. So,
of course. See, again, it's not my fault. You didn't have enough security, or I didn't have enough security for him. You just need to act right.
This is why I think he's done.
Don't be a muppet.
Little things like this.
The funny thing, just sort of one last thing, and I thought it was interesting just listening to, as I do on Night Shift, I listen to a lot of ESPN radio, and over the weekend I sort of don't really enjoy all the college football talk, so I flick over to ESPN 98.7 New York, and they just do a lot of sort of, you know, New York talk, whether it's Yankees, Mets. Not so much Knicks and Nets at the moment because they're not playing, but, you know, a bit of Jets and Giants talk. And one of the hosts on there, Anita Marks. She's sort of, had done a little bit of a deep dive in, and there's a little bit of sort of correlation between this sort of nutty behavior from Antonio Brown after that gigantic hit that he took from Vontaze Burfict, which game was, okay. I think that was 2000, was that the end of 17? I think it was one of the last games of 2017. And like Cincinnati and Pittsburgh generally have fiery games. And he took a huge hit from Vontaze Burfict. Just sort of all of a sudden after that, he sort of displayed this, sort of out of the ordinary. Like I think he was a little bit, out of the ordinary beforehand. Sort of Ryan Clark was into it. He sort of had a bit of an ego on him then, and this was a few years ago, but this behavior that's been going on lately, is there a correlation between that after the hit from Vontaze Burfict? Like that's something that that she sort of that she dived into, and I thought that was very interesting to know.
And there's a lot of that. I'm assuming, is that CTE that they
just having your brain scrambled like that.
I can't really call it a cop out, because there's too many known, without deep diving into it, like there's too many known, correlations and issues with this with old players, and they suffer brain dementia and all that, because
not even old players, even younger players,
correct. So
sort of. You don't want to mention it, but you mentioned Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
He had really advanced. I thought that, I don't know if you sort of seen that. It was on while I was on days off. Like I keep sort of rambling on. We should sort of wrap it up a little bit. But there was a thing that was on normal TV, and it was about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
And how he had really, and he was only 27, and he had like a major onset of advanced. CTE, once all the biz had come out with him. I thought it was a really interesting doco. I only caught sort of the last half an hour of it, but that was it. Yeah, that was a really interesting. It was on at like 11 o'clock at night. It was a really weird time.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a little bit interesting as well. But like I said, without doing a huge deep dive into CTE and all this sort of stuff, I just thought that the point that Anita brought up was very interesting. Just sort of as a correlation sort of thing as to that hit and everything sort of coming out in that next year. With his behavior at the Steelers and also obviously all the rubbish that's gone on this year, in the past couple of months. So I just thought that was an interesting point that she sort of brought up, and that she'd sort of done a bit of a deep dive into. Mention about that.
I guess it'll be interesting to see in the next, the next probably couple of months, or knowing Antonio Brown, the next even probably days, if that kind of correlation comes into it. But
He's going back to school, so he's putting his brand to use.
But then it'll be the question if people are then going to call that's just a cop out. So it's I agree, like there has to be a correlation, I guess, without going into it. There has to be, that's just not that sport. It's any sport. Your head bashed in and it'd be okay, because they're not made to get bashed in, clearly.
Well, they even have a pretty, pretty sort of stringent concussion protocol in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, it's not as if, technically basketball is a non-contact sport. So, people do get hit. So, they have a, they've got a pretty stringent protocol when it comes to concussion. And that's a big thing, in collision, in sports in general, really. It's just something to sort of watch out for. You just like to see sort of Antonio Brown fade away for a little while, and we can actually talk about because now we're starting to get into the meat of the season, and bye weeks and everything are coming up. We should start to see some good football. hopefully anyway unless probably not that Monday night game that's coming up, but other games should be quite entertaining to watch.
Yeah, well, that'll do it this week. Don't forget to catch us on all the socials. That would be, as always, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter on @TheFinalPlayPod. Hopefully the next, like you said, the next few weeks, it'll be less AB talk, but...
More good football talk. More good stories.
It all depends on him, so...
that's right. Yeah, if he likes to... Likes to keep himself busy on Instagram and Twitter, so yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what goes down.
Well, that'll do it from me. Have a good week, everyone. My name is Jason.
For now,
done. I was just about to say done. I knew you were coming too. Yeah, done.
Lock it in.
Done.
Lock it in. His name's Jason. I'll keep my name as Miles for the meantime. So enjoy week 4, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, Panaki.
See ya.